Hello and welcome to Gaming News Weekly. I'm Gareth.
And I'm Matt.
And we've been joined. It's been a while, Matt. So we thought, as it's been such a long time, we would be a hot minute, as you would say. Yeah. We would be joined by the one and only Joe Davila. How are you, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Long time no see.
Very long time.
Yeah, while. We all know some reasons why.
Most of them have to deal with you.
But we don't need to go into them. Some of them, in a scale of 8 out of the 10 of them, are probably to do with me.
9.
But hey. 9. Okay, 10 out of the 11 are to do with me. I'm joking. Some of them are to do with me. But anyway, we're back. We're probably going to really, really try to do some more of this. As much as we can.
Like, you can't even say it with a straight face.
We do really enjoy doing it.
We do.
We do really enjoy doing it. But also, thank you, because we've been checking, and you guys have actually been listening still.
New listeners. New listeners.
I've been listening.
Outdated news. I mean, we can't thank you guys enough.
I think it's our wit, our charm.
I forgot about that.
And obviously our hot takes.
Completely forgot about that part.
Davila, what keeps you coming back? I don't know what keeps you coming back.
He has a big aspiring Twitch channel, and he wants to come back to this.
I honestly love your guys' content. I've just been like waiting and waiting and waiting for you guys to come out with more. But I mean, I completely understand you know you both have lives, you know, outside of this gaming industry, you know, and we're all playing this, you know, this big game called life, you know, and it's just a matter of getting everything in order. So I completely understand, and I know your listeners do too, so ain't no worries, man.
I like how Davila's skipped. We'll get to the games we've played in a little bit. Skipping ahead anyway. Obviously, same sort of layout of the show. We're going to talk about what we've been playing. Bit on news. Game of the week. Clear contender this week.
We didn't even really discuss it.
Look. I make the document. I share the document.
The truth comes out.
The document, Matt, you can choose the game of the week. I also did put in the document, listeners, full disclosure, to fight me on this week's game of the week. But I deliberately didn't give them a choice to do that till the show started. So live with it. And then obviously me and Joe are going to have a fight in trivia where both of us will do miserably and probably go home crying. Same thing as always. Matt will embarrass us with his overwhelming knowledge, which is why he's always the lead on stories. I think it's only right. We're going to go into what we've been playing. It has been August since our last episode. We're not going to go into everything we've played since August.
That would have been a long
list. Because as we know, Matt plays about a million games a week. So we're going to start with you actually, Matt. We're going to ignore being nice to our guests.
Yeah, I was about to say. Usually we throw it to the guests, you know, to welcome it in. But I guess because Davila's been here before, we're just not going to do that.
That and you played a lot of games. It seems like.
I did. I came. Well, you're right. So let's start off with. I'll start with.
You know, we just said everybody's been playing the game of life.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with Escape from Tarkov. I don't have much to say on it because though my computer runs it and it looks like a potato, it runs, except for half the time it can't connect to the server. So that's probably on my end, maybe, or the games. I don't know. The few times I have been able to get into it has been exhilarating. It's very hardcore. It's almost overwhelming to a certain degree. And I can see why it has picked up so much steam in the gaming world. From the few times I've been able to play it, it's exhilarating and fun. You can die in one bullet Or if you're as new as I am, if you get one good shot in, you could take down someone who's been playing for hours. It's a great balance, but it's also nerve-wracking because you can lose all your gear, all your stuff. From the few times I've been able to play, it's amazing. It's still in beta, so I'm sure people with better rigs, such as Joe, probably has had a better time. But for the few times I've been able to play it, it's amazing. I went back to Apex Legends for a little bit. They came out with a new season. There's just so much more stuff in that game than when I first left off on it. But what I still enjoy about it is the movement and the shooting. It's still consistent, still feels real good, and I still like the hero class aspect of a battle royale. I don't know why. I felt a little nostalgic. I went back to Battlefield 4. It still looks fantastic, and it still is one of my... I think I went back to it because EA Play got added into Game Pass, and I went back and played Bad Company 1 all the way through.
Wow.
The story mode, and it's hilarious, but it also is a piece of its time. The controls and the gameplay is not as fluid as we have gotten used to. And I went back to playing Battlefield 4, and it's still one of my favorite games. If Battlefield 6 needs to come out, and it needs to be in the modern, slightly futuristic era to be more of what Battlefield 4 was. Battlefield 5, I think, is still gameplay-wise the best one, but this World War II is a little overdone, and they didn't update it as much as possible. And with Call of Duty raising the bar for what a first-person shooter is, Battlefield 5 did not meet that expectation. So it was enjoyable. Tetris Effect Connected is Tetris. It's a very very beautiful Tetris game. It has a whole bunch of beautiful stuff going on in the background. It's probably the ultimate package for anyone who likes Tetris. It has all the modes. It has co-op. It has versus. Honestly, the big standout is the soundtrack. It's very mellow, chill, house, electronic music-y, and it's probably my favorite aspect of Tetris Effect Connected. The next one is Ghost Runner. It made a huge splash over the holiday season. It just came out of nowhere, and it is hard. It is also one of the best games, one of the best smaller indie games that have come out. Its gameplay is almost the gameplay and the movement is very similar to Titanfall 2. You can slide, sprint, wall run, while also having this ability to slow down time and dash. But you die in one hit. It's very hard, it's almost intoxicating where you die and you want to continue to go again and again and again and continue to die until you beat the level. It's a great looking game. It's great playing. And I haven't been able to get through it yet because I'm stuck on one part and it's not making me very happy, to put it politely. But it's a great game, and it's only, I think it's only like 20, 25 or 30 bucks or something like that. If you like the gameplay of Titanfall 2, and every level is different, it takes the movement and puts it into a different scenario. It's one of the most fun campaign experiences since Titanfall 2, and it's really in that same area. Gareth and I have put some time into Star Wars Battlefront 2. When it came out for Game Pass, the story mode I've touched, and it's whatever. It's slow. It's not what I really want to play Battlefront 2 for. There are some sneaky missions and stealth to begin the camp. It's whatever. I'm not here to talk about the campaign because it's not my cup of tea. The multiplayer is fantastic, though. Multiplayer did Battlefield better than Battlefield. It has the atmosphere of an actual war and, dare I say, Battlefield going on, where there's AI, there's the AT-ATs, there's stuff flying overhead, there's heroes killing you instantaneously. It's a overall great experience, and I think one of the best things I loved about it is that I've never played any of the two newer Battlefronts. I played the old ones on the original Xbox and stuff, but one of the best aspects is I was able to pick it up and do as good, if not better, than people who have been playing it for a long time. There was definitely sometimes where you get killed and you could realize that they had stronger perks or cards or whatever it was, but for the most part, I was able to stay within the top part of the scoreboard, and it was very accessible for newcomers. So, the big one I want to hit on, and Gareth, you can fight me on it, but it's my personal game of the week. It's The Hunt Showdown. It is absolutely fan. It's a game that everyone's sleeping on, and they shouldn't. It is set in 1895 Louisiana, right after the Civil War, and all hell breaks loose. There's zombies, demon dogs, there's things made out, meatheads made out of slugs, there are people, there's monsters that can control, like, insects, there's huge spiders, things that can teleport. It's absolutely terrifying in a beautiful world, and it's amazing. It has the same gameplay loop as Escape from Tarkov, where it's a little mini battle royale, but it's PvP versus PvE, where you face all these AI zombies and demon dogs and stuff, all while facing off against other hunters. Now, it's set in 1895. The weapons are not as clean or efficient as Escape from Tarkov or Call of Duty. And I think that's what has made people not drawn so much to it, because it's sloppy. The guns, you know, after every shot, you have to do your lever. After the shotguns are shotguns, they don't do any damage past a certain point, but if you're in that area, you're dead. One of the best aspects is the sound. It has like Dolby 3D audio that where you can tell the weapon that shoots, how far away, and the exact direction it is, and you can definitely sound horror it up to win your games. It is exhilarating, and if you die, you lose your character, all the perks, all the stats from it, all your weapons. It's exhilarating, and I wish people would buy it and play it more. It's got crossplay, and people just shouldn't sleep on it. I was able to convince Davila to get it. I don't
do horror games. I played that game for literally 10 minutes, and I screamed when one of those like big bosses came at me, because like you said, the audio was really, really good.
Yeah.
So I saw him in front of me, and then I hear him running off to my left, and I'm like freaking out. I'm like, wait, 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 where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And then out of nowhere, he comes running through chains. I'm like, ah! Like as he's running at me, I was like, immediately control alt delete, went back. I went back to my home screen. I was like, I cannot play this alone.
I warned you. It had horror elements to it.
Oh yeah, it is a terrifying game, man.
It's terrifying, but it's so good. It has me hooked, because even if you die, you still gain level. There's two levels. You gain levels for your character, and you gain levels for your actual overall profile. And it's just so, it's satisfying. And it's when you get into a firefight where you can die and lose everything. It's meant for co-op, though you can play in parties of one, two, or three. It's meant for two or three parties, but it's a great game, and I wish if Gareth wasn't so scared about horror games, too, yeah, he'd pick it up, too. I'm stuck with two people that hate horror games, and no one wants to play it.
I didn't know it was cross-platform.
Matt, well, looking at it this way, me and Davila are stuck with somebody who likes horror games. I mean,
I'm not looking at it like
and
that.
And this is a democracy.
But yeah, The Hunt Showdown. Cool. Is buy it.
Is that you done, Matt?
Yeah, I'm done.
We're not sponsored by them.
Yeah, but you should buy it, though.
Joe, why don't you run through what you've been playing?
All right. I haven't played nearly as many games as Matt. I've been stuck on, you know, my top three and then an occasional one. But to start off, I've been playing a lot of Valorant, CSGO type FPS game for PC only, unfortunately. But the competitive aspect in that game has got me hooked. The community's very, very toxic, but once you get over that, you know, and you get a good group of friends to play with, it's actually a lot of fun, you know. And they've been doing a lot of updates with the game, adding new maps. And they recently are going to be coming out with Act 3 on the 12th of this month and adding a new agent too, which will be very, very exciting. His abilities, for those who have played Valorant, are a little bit like Reyna, where you can use your ability to go invisible and then go on to like different parts of the map. And then a little bit like Phoenix with his flashes, with his flash ability. So I'm really looking forward to playing this new act and trying to get out of bronze and maybe into a higher elo and playing the new agent, because it's a tough game. It really, really is a tough game.
Tough for you.
After Valorant, yeah, tough for me. I'm not that good at these types of games, man. But, you know, I'm resilient where, you know, I come back, you know, and, like, I keep coming back and keep dying. But, you know, it is what it is. But other than Valorant, I've been playing some Warzone. You know, everybody's been playing Call of Duty Warzone. I'm not going to lie. This game has been... Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't been playing it that much too, Matt. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. The game is getting very, very annoying. There's a lot of things in the game that I feel are broken. They come out with new guns, like the infamous DMR that everybody's talking about. And it's literally a two-shot and you're dead. And it's the most aggravating thing ever. And I honestly think that's why a lot of people are going to, which is my next game, is Escape from Tarkov. Everybody's fed up with, you know, the broken guns and the hackers. You know, there's talk where people, there's an app now where if you're competitive in Warzone, you can actually look up the different players in your lobby and see kind of like, you know, the quote unquote elo of that lobby. And if it's too hard, you back right out and then get into another lobby that's more of, you know, your play style. And it's just, I mean, I understand, you know, it's a good battle royale. It's a great looking battle royale. But a lot of people are fed up. And like you said, Matt, Escape from Tarkov is blowing up right now. I mean, I've been playing Escape from Tarkov for almost 2 years. And when I first was playing it, nobody even heard of Escape from Tarkov. And it's with this recent 12.9 update, I feel like everybody has been hopping on the Escape from Tarkov train. And I'm loving it, you know, because back in the day, there's a few terms in Escape from Tarkov that a lot of the people use. It's Chads and Rats. Chads are, you know, the high speed guys that come out and just kill everybody in the lobby. And then the Rats are the ones who sit in a room with an automatic gun and wait for you to walk by and just open up on you to kill you. But I feel like with the influx of players, it's making the PvP aspect a lot more fun because, you know, you have those, you don't have just Chads and Rats, you have the in-between. So it's making the gunplay and the fights a lot better. That, and with this 12.9 update, they added a new expansion to the map Woods, which is very intoxicating. I mean, I don't like the map Woods at all because it's just sniper heaven. But with the new recent update, they added some more, you know, close quarters type, you know, map stuff into that one. So it's making it a lot better. But I'm really happy to see a lot of players hop on Escape from Tarkov because, like you said, it is, in my opinion, it is the most realistic first person shooter out there. I mean, if you get shot in the arm, you have a possibility of your arm breaking. Blood loss. You have to put on a tourniquet. You have to put on a splint, or when you ADS, your aim is going to be all shaky because you have a broken arm. And so it's that that real level type, you know, gameplay that I think has a lot of people just like wanting more and more. And it's in a way too kind of like gambling because you could go out there super kitted, have hundreds of thousands of rubles worth of gear on. And there could just be some level one out there with a pistol that just happens to sneak up on you and boom, you're dead. You lose everything, you know? And then on the other hand, you could be that level one guy that just catches this Chad, you know, just slipping up a little bit and then boom, pop him. And you just made hundreds of thousands of rubles within minutes, you know? And it's very, very intoxicating. And it's one of my favorite games, honestly, that I've been playing right now. But for my last game that I've been playing, I have a pretty decent PC, so I've been able to play Cyberpunk 2077. And man, let me tell you, this game is so, so good. The story is absolutely captivating. Every time I hop on this game, you know, it's like I'm watching a movie almost, you know, with Keanu Reeves' character, Johnny Silverhand, you know, it's like all these different aspects of the story. It's just so, so good. And I put in like close to 30 hours on the game and I'm only on Act 2, which isn't that far, but it's the side missions that got me really, really into it too. You know, traveling around Night City, going into the different, you know, regions, and you go from the city out to the outlands, you know, out into like the desert. And it's just, man, it is so much fun. And I feel really bad for those who are on console because it has not been able to perform to the way it was supposed to. You know, CD Projekt Red, and we'll get into that a little bit because that's one of our stories, but CD Projekt Red had, like, you know, they put out that this game was going to be able to run on all the consoles, next gen 2, and it's just not, it's not performing to what it's supposed to be. So for those of you guys who did get the Cyberpunk 2077 on console, hopefully you guys were able to get your refund, because I saw that both Xbox and PlayStation were giving out refunds for the digital copies of the game. So hopefully, you know, they do their updates, they do their work, and sooner than later, they come out with a patched game where everybody can be able to enjoy what is Cyberpunk 2077. But that's all I got for what I've been playing, guys.
Are you saying that, have you experienced any major bugs, or have you experienced reoccurring or frequent bugs on the PC?
So no, like, game breaking bugs. I haven't experienced any games where I've had to quit out of the game, you know, and relaunch it up. But I've experienced, you know, a couple different bugs where, you know, people are walking through doors, cars are just randomly crashing into you out of nowhere, and it's just like, where did you learn how to drive, you know? But it's just, I mean, but, like, you think about games, like, from our past, like Skyrim, you know, like, Skyrim had its, you know, its, like, its share of bugs, you know, and it's nothing that was like, oh, I hate this game so much because the guy is walking through a wall. And it's just, it's the type of bugs where you just kind of laugh at it and then you just shake it off and you continue on with the gameplay. But me personally, I haven't experienced any game-breaking bugs, knocking on wood that I don't. But yeah, it's been a good experience so far.
Yeah, because I was
the
about
the problem
to...
is.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the problem is it's not necessarily been the bugs on the whole. I think the real problem behind this has been the it's not been played, or it would not play to the standard that certainly we were hoping for on the you know, old gen, and even some cases the next gens. But yeah. I think they got that working pretty quickly. I think that was the bugs. Everybody expects bugs, and I think in some ways we're all a bit jokey about bugs. We quite like it, you know, first time a game's out and something funny happens. It's normally fixed pretty quickly, and if not, it does add a bit of character. The only problem is those bugs probably wouldn't have been seen as anything huge if there hadn't been the other issues with running on consoles, etc.
I completely agree.
I think the only thing I have to put in there is the bugs for Bethesda games are getting real old.
Yeah. That's because they haven't released a new game in like a century.
In a hot minute, right?
Fallout 76 had the same bugs Skyrim and Oblivion had, but you know, I'm not going
to
go on my.
I mean, Fallout 76 to me is exactly the same game as Fallout 4, or just in a slightly different area. It could just be an expansion.
I've had a few friends say that they've been updating it so much that it's actually a good game now, and. All I have to say to them is that, well, it's been a while, so I hope it's a decent game by now.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, thanks, Joe. I'll jump into the games I've been playing. So we've all had a little bit of a first-person sort of run going on. So I played some Battlefield 4 as well. I took advantage of it being on Game Pass free, which is really good. I jumped into the campaign because actually Battlefields normally do have really good campaigns. Really gritty, sort of really realistic until you run out of ammo and then pick ammo up randomly out of nowhere. And there's always crates really handily, you know, positioned all around so you can change to any single gun that you ever want to change to. So otherwise than that, it's quite realistic. It's something quite dramatic about Battlefield campaigns. Yeah, I just really love them. You know, there's like a helicopter falling through a building that's on fire and you're being shot at, but you're fine. But hey, you know, realism. I've also played some Star Wars Battlefront 2 with Matt, which has been a lot of fun. Huge Star Wars fan, and was sort of hoping that that'd be a game that I'd really enjoy when that came up on Game Pass as well. And it didn't disappoint. I spent equally 5 minutes on the campaign and then it was a terrible sneak mission with terrible sneak mechanics. Just don't do it.
Just boring too.
Yeah. It's just like, okay. And the AI sometimes was quite dumb, and then other times was like, it'd see you behind six different objects, and it's like, what? So I don't do rubbish sneak mechanics, so I just jumped straight into multiplayer and didn't turn back. Loved it, to be honest. Squadrons, Star Wars Squadrons. So I jumped into that, and wow. So this was a game. This was a birthday present, actually, Star Wars Squadron, and I really love it. It's I heard some people saying the controls can feel a little bit, you know, fussy and they don't quite feel right. It does feel like it's a joystick, flight stick game. It feels like it is one way you could do that. And as far as I'm aware, on most platforms, with most flight sticks, it will work, which is pretty cool, actually. You know, you're managing your shield, you're managing your power, you're managing your weapons, and you can switch all those and you get benefits of different things. So it's quite a different take on Microsoft Flight Sim. So I found it really good. The story's good. Multiplayer is terrible because I'm terrible. otherwise, I'm sure it's good. Honestly, I feel so bad for the team I joined. I think I was on... Xbox Live chat with Matt at the time, and yeah, I felt pretty bad for those people.
Just bringing down the
team. Anyway, apologies. Greedfall. I haven't spent a huge amount of time into this, but I heard good things about it, so watch this space with that one. Looks awful, looks terrible. Everything clips into everything, but I'm hoping there's a good story behind it. Yeah, no, I haven't really sold that, but RPG fans know they don't look for great quality. anyway, not going to talk a huge amount about this, because probably at the end of the show we'll be having a fight about it. Lord of the Rings Online. Now, let me tell you a story. About 950,000 years ago, Lord of the Rings Online went live, and... basically, it's been going strong. 2020 actually saw a resurgence in it. Huge player numbers coming back to it. A really good community. I would say if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, you like Lord of the Rings lore, you don't mind MMORPGs, I would say give it a go. So for free, absolutely for free, there is tons. I mean, they say over 100 hours of content for free. There's just 100 hours of quests for free. Now, some of those quests are go and see so-and-so, then go and see so-and-so. And then once you've seen so-and-so, go back and see so-and-so. But it's very clever because in the same way, I'm going from that place to that place and encountering enemies, finding other side quests, mining, which for some reason now I can't stop doing. Before I knew it, I had put 30-something hours in. I think I should check these things before we go on. I love it. If you can run it at, like, ultra high, which I did for about 30 seconds, and then I thought my computer's going to explode, it actually does look, for at least 10-year-old game, it does look pretty nice, actually. There's a huge community. It's great. There's lots of people. Like, I was picked up by a kinship very quickly. And if I type in the chat, guys, what do I do with this? They're all answering, you know, and they're all really good about it. They're not, you know, oh, what's this newbie? You know, like on Warzone or The Hunt. Or, you know, Escape with Tarkov. You know, not like any of these games. It's just a really, really good game, and I would recommend it. I'm going to try and get Davila on it. Matt has snubbed the game already, so as far as I'm concerned, you're not welcome in Middle Earth. obviously that will come up later on in the show for obvious reasons.
From you. It's only you.
Like I say, if you make the document, you get to choose Game of the Week. And if you do the editing, you get to edit out who's wins. I'm joking. I obviously won't do that. I will.
Right, yeah.
Lovely. So that's what we've been playing. So actually, Matt's played an awful lot, and he, always does.
Can we touch on the fact that in Battlefront campaign, you said that you didn't like the AI because sometimes they were dumb, and then other times they'd be able to know exactly where you were through multiple covers. Why did you like Ghost Recon Breakpoint so much then? Because their AI... Because their AI...
Bringing
was...
up an old wound here.
I still can't comprehend. You said that, and all I could think about... You said that example, and all I could think about was like, oh my gosh, it's the AI from Breakpoint all over again. Their AI was so bad. It was exactly how you describe Battlefront's AI to be. And you're okay with that.
Terrible.
You're just, as long as it's not Star Wars, it's terrible. But if it's Star Wars, then it's I'll just quit this. I don't want to talk about it. Whatever. Let's just move on to the next section.
So Breakpoint, actually, when we were enjoying it and not, you know, me, you, and Davila on a trek with you moaning about how much you hate the game. when we were enjoying it. Actually, it was a really good game, and we just wrecked the AI, so there never was anybody. But what ended up happening on our treks through the hills of Aurora is we would be on a hill with you muttering about how much you hate the game, which really sort of was why you probably didn't like the game, because you kept saying, I don't really like this game.
Because I played it. I got all the achievements. I played through the entire game just so I have... So you can't tell me that I don't have any way to say it, because I've played the game longer and more than you, and I still hate it. And I'm so disappointed because me going on my soapbox of it got deleted or misplaced. I think that was our first episode that disappeared because... you got me heated. I got myself heated up. Let's just go.
You know, it's really funny. All of the internet is now breaking. anyway, if you want to talk to Matt about that, it's Gaming News Weekly Facebook page, and let me know what you think. Right, let's move on before we kick Matt out the call. We'll jump on to the news of the week. Now, naturally, as with the games, we're not going to cover all the games and all the news that's happened since August, because there's been console launches, there's been, incredible shortages of that. Matt's been making millions of dollars as he's sold PS5s on for 55 grand.
don't get me in trouble.
which is the real reason why we haven't done an episode. he's spent all that money, so he's back.
to so make a podcast that make no... Never mind, go ahead. All right.
So we're going to look at some stories that have come out recently. You know, there's not been a huge amount, so we are going to take a little bit of a look at some funny stories as well as some serious ones. Trump's at it again, it seems like, with our first story. It's PC part, so Joe, in a minute I'm going to head towards you, because Matt knows nothing about PCs. He knows nothing about PCs. We're seeing price increases on parts for high-end computers, and it's driven really by a tariff that's being put onto Chinese products. But it's not just having an impact on Chinese products; it's also having an impact on North American-made products. Dell pointed out in the article on PC Gamer as having a problem. Davila, tell us, how much is it having an impact on your PC? How much does your PC now cost because of this?
Well, don't discuss. I'm not going to get into dollar and cents amount.
I'm going to flex.
I actually, I haven't recently bought anything too expensive. I mean, the only thing I really upgraded was my CPU and my RAM, but it's looking like the main things, as I'm skimming through the article, are graphics cards and CPU coolers are and motherboards are some of the big things, which is pretty interesting too, because NVIDIA and AMD both came out with their next gen graphics cards a few months ago. I forgot, I want to say October, but don't quote me on that. But
yeah, they recently came out about the same time as the consoles, wasn't it? Maybe just before.
Yeah, just before the console release, yeah. But it was interesting with this new 30 series graphics cards that NVIDIA came out with. It has almost twice the power as the 20 series, but at a fraction of the cost.
Stupid cheap compared to the last one.
I mean, like, just last year, if you wanted to get a 2080, you know, a 2080 graphics card, you're looking at $1,200 and upwards for a 2080. But now a 3080 is $699, you know, and it's twice as powerful as the 2080, which is mind-boggling, you know. You would think that with the newer products, it'd be more expensive, but it doesn't seem to be that way. But it's interesting now to see this tariff put on it. I'm curious to see how much the increase of the cost is actually going to be. I mean, as everybody knows, it's impossible to get your hands on one of these graphics cards right now. They're going like hotcakes from all these scalpers like Matt, you know. But, you know, I'm curious to see how much the increase is actually going to be. And I've been watching some TikToks and some YouTube videos and stuff, and a lot of these big tech gurus are saying there's not going to be a significant price increase, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be an increase nonetheless, you know. So I'm curious to see how it's going to play out, but I fortunately haven't been affected by it yet. I actually happened to get my CPU on sale at Best Buy because they do their price matching, and it was on sale on Amazon. So I got it $100 cheaper, which was a plus. But yeah, I'm really curious to see how this is going to play out in the near future.
Can we just draw attention that Davila gets all of his main source of information from TikTok, the most reliable?
Yeah, I mean, TikTok is one of like
2021 people.
Yeah, it's funny.
You don't need to jump on this bandwagon. There is so much knowledge to be attained from TikTok. There's not just dancing kids on this thing, you know. There's actually tech gurus out there doing videos on, you know, PC builds and all this different stuff, you know.
You said TikTok and YouTube, just so you know, and I was like...
Just so you know, Gaming News Weekly does not officially endorse getting your information from TikTok.
That's it. I'm done. This is the last episode.
You'll come crawling back.
Well, the joke's on you. Gareth is going to delete it anyways.
Not delete it. Misplace it.
Yes, misplace it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I don't have anything else.
Yeah, it's one of those where normally, if there's increases, sometimes suppliers will try and take the hit so it doesn't impact retails. But naturally, as cost prices increase, retail prices have to go that way. COVID hasn't necessarily helped with that either. But, you know, we're going to have to watch this space. PCs are already given this sort of perception that they're incredibly expensive machines. So to somebody that's just starting out building a PC, they're probably not going to notice it. Probably only, you know, people looking to scalp as Matt or looking to upgrade the PC like you, Joe. They're probably going to be the only ones that are going to notice it. But
yeah.
Yeah. Well, because Matt's not got anything to add on it, we'll move on.
Well, I don't have anything else to add on that the technological gurus from TikTok have to already.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, here we go. This is nothing I'm not going to be able to live down.
I will throw in a little bit. Just to go off of what Joe said about how like the 30 series actually came out to be cheaper and it's more powerful. You might see a slight increase just from that, and they might bring it up instead of being, what, $700, it might be $800, but it'll still be cheaper. Well, hopefully it'll still be cheaper. That you won't see too much of it, and hopefully as technology goes, everything continues to get cheaper, because I mean, if you've realized 4K TVs, they used to be thousands of dollars back then, and now that's the standard. You can pick one up for like 60 inch for like $400 or $500 or so. So hopefully it won't affect too much, but I'm sure if it gets drawn out for a lot longer, we might see ramifications of it.
Yeah.
We'll be back after this short advert break. And now it's back to the show. Move on to our next really, really, really important story that we're covering this week. I can't believe how much this is, honestly. This is actually made BBC News, which is like not like TikTok. This is like an actual news corporation in the UK, which is incredible that this made it all the way up to this. It came out that the reason that Xbox use batteries in their controllers is because of an ongoing agreement with Duracell. Now, this all hit, and this went everywhere. This probably even made TikTok.
Oh, my gosh.
I wouldn't even know how to download TikTok. So there were huge remarks that were coming from, I think it was a Duracell guy, was saying, well, actually, that's the reason why the Xbox Series X, Series S, they come with two Duracell AA batteries. There's obviously a thing going on. They're working together. Before we move on to the next part of this story, let's just start something. I put this on the notes. Batteries, as in Xbox controller. No batteries, as in PlayStation controller or PC mouse. What's our preferred thing? Do we like batteries? Do we not like batteries?
So I'll start off with the gaming PC. I like wired because some research has shown that there's less delay within the wired ones compared to wireless. For Xbox controllers, I'll use mine example. My two main controllers that I use have rechargeable batteries in them, but then the extra ones have AA batteries. I think I don't really care. It's more about the flexibility of the matter. And I don't know how Joe will say, but coming from the Army, I will say this. Duracell has the best battery. It is the longest lasting battery I have ever experienced, gaming-wise and military-wise. And all of our equipment...
Yeah, not sponsored.
Not sponsored. Yeah. But if you're looking for a battery to last you in either gaming or military equipment-wise, Duracell's the way to go. A lot of our other non-Duracell batteries fried in the winter. They didn't last as long during the summer. Duracell just... it's not Energizer Bunny because they still are in a very little comparison compared to Duracell. So it might just be that they want a better product, but I could really care less about... I like the flexibility. I like that I don't have to buy rechargeable batteries for the Xbox controllers that are subjected to, like, you know, when I have guests over or parties over. And I just have rechargeable batteries for the main ones that I use on a day-to-day basis. So I like the flexibility of it. I don't mind not having to be mandated to use rechargeable batteries only. That's my two cents.
Joe, what's TikTok tell you?
Oh my God, I cannot stand you guys right now. Oh my gosh. Well, from my experience, I've always just thrown the batteries out whenever I got a new controller. I have only one controller now that I use for my Xbox Elite. And I have a rechargeable battery pack in it. And then whenever I'm done with my controller, I just put it on the charging stand and it charges up. I typically don't like batteries because there's always the chance that your batteries will die. And then that's just another thing that you have to purchase. And to be quite honest with you, batteries are not cheap. Batteries can get pretty expensive, especially, you know, the higher tier Duracell batteries. They can become a pretty penny. But with this rechargeable battery pack, I bought it at a Target and it was like $10. And it came with two rechargeable battery packs that slip right in and came with a stand where you can put two controllers on it. And I've been using that for years now and I've had no issues with it whatsoever. However, I do like the fact that, like, you know, you can use the battery packs. You can use rechargeable batteries as far as compared to the PlayStation, where it has to be plugged in and charged. I don't like that because, one, sometimes you can't find the cable. Two, you have to be plugged in. And, you know, you see those memes of PlayStation players like 3 inches away from their PlayStation because they have it plugged in.
Like it's a PlayStation 1 still.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, I mean, I definitely don't like that. And with Matt, like you said, I have it's actually a hybrid mouse. It can be wired or wireless. And I use it wired just because, you know, with that somewhat chance of a delay in your mouse. And so I typically use mine wired. But as far as battery goes, when I get my Xbox controller, every time I've gotten an Xbox controller, I've just tossed the batteries right out and just gotten, you know, rechargeable, the battery pack. And that's been the way I've been going.
How would you toss the batteries out? They're expensive, you said.
I just toss them in a, we have a battery drawer. We have a battery.
Every household has a battery drawer.
Has a battery, yeah. Has a trunk drawer.
Screws. Like just random bits, yep. Off of, yep, things you'll never use.
Take out menu, probably some rubber bands.
Yeah. Some like 16-year-old cables.
Yeah. Yeah, I've probably still got a PlayStation port. Talking about that, remember the one before, like, into the ones. So cool. Look, I'll add my 2 pence. I know nobody cares. But
pounds.
I always use wireless mouses for mice for computing usage. Mostly because then I've got an excuse for why I died. I feel like Microsoft. I've been very clever with the rechargeables because they haven't made it so the only rechargeable option is an Xbox branded product for £450,000. Like you, Davila, my Xbox controllers sat just next to me. They're on a charging stand that came with the stand and the battery pack things, and that probably only cost me £12, which is, you know, like $150. So
where the math was, but all right.
So you know, that's really good, and that's the advantage that the Xbox controllers have over the PlayStation controllers. They're not having to, oh, let me just stick it in. You can break the cables and all that sort of stuff. There are advantages there, and I understand couple of reasons why the PlayStation ones have it on the side. Apart from the PlayStation 5 controller, all those other boys have been nice small controllers which have looked quite aesthetically pleasing, you know, as apart from our Xbox controllers, which are a bit big and bulky. So I mean, interestingly enough, you know, looking at the Kotaku article that we're looking at, I didn't realise this. The Xbox Elite is wireless. Wireless 2. They're all wireless. But it doesn't have a battery pack section. It's charged by a wire. I didn't realise that. So interesting that they've chosen to do that with their Elite controller. They do target that at sort of multiplayer guys who just, that's all they do. Or they do it for small sessions. They're not looking at using that for everyday game usage. I don't know. So they can leave it plugged in at the side. Then when they're ready, they can use it. I don't know. Not entirely sure what the idea is behind that. But we should all do what Nintendo does and give nobody an option. It's got to be connected to your console, which then plugs into your TV, and then you've got no choice. Anyway, to wrap this story up, to finish Battery Gate, as we should call it, IGN has literally just posted there is no Microsoft/Duracell deal, meaning Xbox has to use Duracell AA batteries in their controllers. So I'd say it's a non-story, but it led to some good conversations about TikTok and stuff. All in all, pointless non-story. It shows you how quiet January's been, but it's been good. We've been able to talk about all the different things we think about batteries. Start as we mean to go on. Look, let's move on to some sort of juicier news. CD Projekt Red. Oh, man. These guys, they... it was all meant to go so well when Cyberpunk 2077 comes out. You know, we've got to delay it. We've got to delay it. And, you know, people were saying, delay it. You guys, you're great. Just do it. Oh, how I think those people regret maybe saying that now. After the issues that we've sort of touched upon earlier. But there is now a class action lawsuit in America only being filed against CD Projekt Red. And it's actually by the investors who feel that potentially their earnings have been restricted because of they were missold by CD Projekt Red what the game Cyberpunk 2077 was going to be. And that maybe because of that, it's had a detrimental impact, or it has had a detrimental impact on their stock value, which therefore has an impact on investors, so on and so forth. I mean, these are the good guys, aren't they? We don't like to see this happen to CD Projekt Red, but, I mean, I'll give the floor to you guys. What do we think?
I don't think that the investors are necessarily wrong. Well, first off, we want to acknowledge that Cyberpunk 2077 still sold relatively well, regardless yes. of what was going on with the is it current generation or the last generation, the yeah. Xbox One and the PS4. It's even with those issues, it still sold relatively well, and I think that is based on how well CD Projekt Red is as a company. They produced Witcher 3, which is an amazing game. They pumped out the two great expansion packs for it, and also a whole bunch of free DLC. They're very consumer friendly, and I think that helped it also sell really well. And like Joe said, you know, you didn't experience on the PC side, at least when you aren't experiencing bugs, all the reviews say it's a great game. Everyone says it's very in depth. It's just an overall well made story, and if you're not experiencing bugs or anything like that, it's still a good game. But I don't to. Kind of go back, it's I can see why they're upset by it, because even the consumers in a way were kind of misled on the state of the Xbox One and PS4 games, because leading up to it, there was no video footage, there was no talks of how the Xbox One and the PS4 game was, you know, progressing, I guess. There was no video footage, there was no talking about it, and if it's running as bad as all the reviews and everyone says it is, CD Projekt Red had to know at least a little bit of it, and they should have delayed it. I don't know how that works between them and the publishing company and how much leeway they had, because they've already delayed it 4 or 5 times if they had to crank it out no matter what. But at least the sales from the Xbox One and the PS4 could have been misled, because even people buying it have been slightly misled, because Xbox and Sony are offering full refunds for it, because there was really no lead up to it. They only really showed what the Xbox Series X or the PC version, which, as Joe said, is mostly bug. Well, I shouldn't say mostly, but it's not as bug filled as the Xbox One and PS4.
Yeah, I agree. And I think. And this kind of plays on the, like, you know, the current state that we are in as consumers. I feel that a lot of these gamers were just, it was almost like childish in a way where, you know, they were like, we want the game now, like, no matter like the state it's in. And, you know, and I feel bad for these developers, you know, because, you know, I feel like they knew that there was going to be some issues, and they wanted the time to be able to, you know, to buff them out, you know, before it released. And now there's so much slander going on to these developers, like, oh, you produced like a really unbalanced game. There's so many bugs and stuff like that. But I think also that a lot of the consumers are definitely blowing things out of proportion, you know. I mean, yes, I understand that on the last gen Xbox and PlayStation 4, the game was, you know, for the most part unplayable, because it was just graphically, it just couldn't handle it. But I mean, you have people complaining about, you know, the smallest bugs. And I feel that in my opinion, I feel that some of these consumers are like entitled in a way where they just expect the best thing all the time, you know, and you have to put things into perspective and understand that, you know, there's going to be hiccups, you know, there's going to be some things that don't go according to plan, but you just have to be resilient and just understand that, you know, these developers are definitely putting in the work to, you know, produce what, you know, is going to be one of the best games of 2020. I mean, it was unfortunate that the game was literally delayed like a year before it finally came out. But I mean, I'm glad that they waited that year, because I mean, I only could imagine what the game would have been like if it would have released on its original date. But I just think as a whole, a lot of the consumers in the gaming industry are a little bit, like I said, it's my opinion, are a little bit entitled and a little bit impatient with the kinds of things that these developers are trying to produce, you know.
Because I just like to throw it in there. I think, I mean, love you, Joe. I think you're great. I have a slight issue with what's gone on, and I'll tell you why. They refused to give IGN and a few other game review sites copies of Cyberpunk on PlayStation 4 and Xbox Ones, of any Xbox Ones. They wouldn't even give them an Xbox One X copy. They refused to do it. And then it was only after the game went out and people got copies. So IGN ended up giving the game on next gen and PC, but they reviewed a PC copy. In fact, that was it. Yeah, they weren't even given a PS5 or a Series X. They were given a PC copy. They gave it a 9 out of 10. I think it was a 9 out of 10 IGN. They then, after everything hit so-called fan, it then went to pot. And that's when CD Projekt Red gave them a copy. And that's when they went on to give it a 4 out of 10. Not the worst reviewed game in the world, but also not their best. And nowhere near the 9 that it had on PC. My problem is if it's not working a year after it was pushed back, I feel like they had no intention of that game ever being ready to... What would they have shipped a year before? Because they pushed out that one of the things for the original delay was to allow them to do some fine-tuning, get things working. And everybody assumed, oh, well, that must be to get it working on the new systems. Well, there actually isn't an Xbox Series X or PlayStation 5 version. If you're playing Cyberpunk right now, you're playing an up-resed version of the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One games.
Yeah.
I feel they have deliberately misled people. I feel they did do that, and they've possibly taken advantage of a lot of people's good faith in a business that's very, very well sort of thought of. You know, like I was saying, there were people saying, bring the game out. But on the whole, when that big yellow thing appeared on Twitter saying, we're going to be, you know, pushing the game back, there was so much overwhelming, do what's right for the game, do what's right for a game. So, I mean, I kind of get what the investors are saying. I mean, I'll read the press release just to wrap up, because I don't want to be a deputy downer. So this is as per the press release. This is the logic for the suit. Cyberpunk 2077 was virtually unplayable on the current generation Xbox or PlayStation systems due to an enormous number of bugs. As a result, Sony would remove Cyberpunk 2077 from the PlayStation Store. Sony, Microsoft, and CD Projekt Red would be forced to offer full refunds for the game. Consequently, CD Projekt Red would suffer reputational and pecuniary harm. And, as a result, defendant's statements about its business operations and prospects were materially false, misleading, and or lacked a reasonable basis at all relevant times. When the true details entered the market, the lawsuit claims that investors suffered damages. I mean, CD Projekt Red might have made money back, but that doesn't... It hasn't made the money back that they were quite hoping for, which then goes into the investors' pockets. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, we have to remember, you know, you used the word earlier, this is an industry. There are businesses behind this. To keep these incredible games that are now costing hundreds of millions of pounds to produce, or dollars to produce, or euros, actually, in the case of CD Projekt Red. It therefore does need, we need to treat it a little bit businessy. And I think if people are owed money because they were misled as investors. I mean, let me change it. Let me change it, actually. If this was a, startup, like a Patreon or a, Kickstarter, that's the word. And this was a little indie project and it came out and it actually was nothing like what they were saying. And people had been sort of left with a bit of mud on their face with it all. Actually, we would all be going, go after him. That's not fair. Why have you, you know, treated these investors like that? So it's no different, just bigger sums of money.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I definitely see your point.
And yeah, and like, to go back to put a little, like Joe said, I do agree that there are some bugs that people are bandwagoning on, and there are minor bugs that should never really be a major issue. But then, like you said, there's major issues and bugs that are breaking the game, and that's where I think they have, where the investors have the issue with. And I think you bringing up the fact that they didn't put out review copies for the original current gen really says that they knew that it wasn't ready. But like I originally said, we don't know what the relationship was between the developers, the publishers, and the investors. If they were like, hey, we've delayed it for a year, you've got to push it out no matter what. And maybe it isn't 100% their fault because they still wanted time. Regardless, like I said in the beginning, I agree that there was misleading, at least with the current gen releases, because there was no previews of it, there was no review copies of it. And maybe someone should have made a tough choice of maybe cutting the game off from current gen and waiting, or pushing back that release date to give them more time to let it bake. And there should have been a tough decision made, but there was at least some misleading going on with the current generation.
Yeah, 100% agreed. I just was trying to look at who actually did publish the game.
Because that goes back to your business standpoint. This game's been in development for years, and they've already pushed it back a whole another year. So okay. I'm sure there were some investors or business people that were a little, that wanted money from it.
Yeah. CD Projekt Red published it. whoops.
Sees.
So that's where the investors getting annoyed at it.
Yeah.
Matters a great deal. So we go from one business that people have sometimes really liked and adored to a business
nobody likes.
Not many people like. EA, exceptionally awful, have a guy who used to work for them, a former president, EA Sports president, Peter Moore, got interviewed, it seems like. Nobody knows why. regarding FIFA's Ultimate Team. Now, for those of you that don't know, FIFA is a football game. Proper football, biggest sport in the world. And Ultimate Team is a free-to-play, and for those of you that can't see, I'm, you know, doing quotation marks, free-to-play, mode where you create teams from cards that you pull randomly, and then you play, that's your team, you build it up, and then you play against other people. Now, there have been, and I think we've even covered stories on Gaming News Weekly, about people spending atrocious amounts of money on FIFA Ultimate Team, like hundreds of thousands. This guy says, actually, these are nothing like gambling. It's nothing like gambling. He makes it sound as though he says it's such as things like collecting cigarette cards in the 1920s and 30s, as well as lucky bags, an old UK product that contained mystery sweets, games, and other activities. The distinction between gambling and loot boxes, Moore claims, is the fact you're never left empty-handed. I mean, let's change maybe cigarette cards. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get. To probably Pokemon cards, that's probably more our generation. You whip open a Pokemon card, you might get a shiny. I think some packs used to say whether you guaranteed a shiny. It might used to put it at the front of the pack, actually, when I remember getting them. And then otherwise, you could get anything. It was supposedly very random. So that's what he's trying to get out. And in some ways, I don't 100% disagree with that.
But he's playing technicalities at this point. He's playing technicalities to try to refute the fact that it's still gambling. Yes, it might not be gambling as in going to Las Vegas and playing the cards or whatever, but there's still gambling involved in it. You're still spending money to try to get something that is up to RNG. One of the biggest things that dumbfounds me is that in this article, he points back to Battlefront 2. He says, I get the scrutiny. I understand outside of sports that loot boxes, again, another EA title in particular, Battlefront 2, got a lot of scrutiny and criticism. And EA pulled back on that. One thing they're always good at is getting feedback and realizing, you know what, probably shouldn't have done that. So what in his right mind thinks that just because of the genre, does it make it okay for loot boxes to be inside sports games but not inside Battlefront? If anything, I would say that in sports, it's more important because you're going for, you know, better value. You know, it's almost the same thing because in Battlefront, you were opening packs to get better cards to improve your play. And in sports games, you're opening packs to get better players with better stats to improve your game. So it's just dumbfounding me that he's doing a double standard that just because it's different genres that the loot boxes and the gambling mechanics are warranted in one genre and not the other one. And like I said, he's playing technicalities. And like you said, I can't disagree with him. Yeah, you are getting something out of it, but it doesn't mean that there's not a perpetual state of gambling in anything that you do that involves RNG and spending real money.
Joe, yeah. Any thoughts?
Yeah, this whole thing, I mean, like, I remember you guys had spoken about this in the past on one of your earlier episodes, and I'm still on the same mindset with it. I mean, the whole thing is just gambling in a sense, you know. It's, you're paying money in the hopes of trying to get something big, and for the majority of the time, you're let down. And, you know, you hear stories of kids getting a hold of their parents' credit cards and just racking up hundreds and hundreds of dollars on their credit cards, just trying to get, you know, the better player or the better, you know, card for, like, the Battlefront and stuff like that. And it's just, I just think it's very, very grimy, the whole thing. And I'm not a fan of loot boxes or these, you know, it's essentially a pay-to-win type thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm just not a fan at all. I'm not a fan at all.
You hit the nail on the head with the pay to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's fair enough to say you might not think that loot boxes are gambling and the sorts, but countries do. I remember we covered it. And in fact, the article on PC Gamer reminds us of the fact that, they were charged a 10 million euro fine. Because they still hadn't. I think they were given a week to change it when we covered the original story, and they didn't. So therefore, they tried to fight it. Never try and fight it. Just accept it is what it is. Change it. Be more player orientated. And you never know. They might not have such a terrible reputation.
Yeah.
So that's the news for the week. We've covered an awful lot there, actually. Game of the week, well, I think we all know, is Lord of the Rings Online.
or the Hunt Showdown, you know, whichever.
Or Escape from Tarkov, or whichever.
Yeah. But, you know, we're going to go with
No. When did this become a democracy? No, honestly, play any of those games. It's absolutely fine. But if you want to play Lord of the Rings online, hit me up. Joe, I'll see you there later. Cool. Well, it's unfortunately at that time where me and Joe now have to go head-to-head.
You're not going to talk about Lord of the Rings a little bit? A little bit more?
Well, I did earlier, and you guys were just getting at me with the whole Hunt the Showdown and some other game about Escape Room or something like that. I don't know.
My gosh, here we go.
I don't know. I'm just going to look at some TikToks while we do trivia.
Oh my gosh, dude. You guys are killing me.
Make sure
you
get your technological news updates on your TikTok. All right. All right.
If you want to, let us know on the Facebook page if you think Gaming News Week, you should get a TikTok.
Well, we know who our first follower is going to be.
I'll be a follower.
I was hoping he'd
know. I'll be there.
All right, we ready for some trivia, boys? You guys are going against each other, not on the same
team.
All right, so I try to pull a little bit from each either story or games that we played. So I'm going to start off with a Star Wars Battlefront question. Who were the first developers to develop the first Star Wars Battlefront on the Xbox and the PlayStation 2? Was it DICE, Free Radical, Pandemic Studios, or Slant 6 Games? If you think you know it, you go second. Going second, Gareth. All right.
What were the options again?
It's either DICE, Free Radical Design, Pandemic Studios, or Slant 6 Games. And this is the first Star Wars Battlefront games, the ones that came on the Xbox OG and the PlayStation 2 era.
We all played them.
Yeah, that was. I remember when I got that game for Christmas too. I was happier than could be. For some reason, I'm wanting to say Pandemic Studios, but that is my final answer. Yes,
I remember bottom right hand corner of the Star Wars Battlefront games box. I remember the gas mask face, which was the Pandemic logo, yellow and black.
Look at you guys. Both you guys got 1 point.
Oh, okay.
So you guys aren't terrible at this. Bob, I finally got a question right on the
I'm winning.
Alright. Next one. What year was the first Witcher game released? 2005, 2007, 2006, 2004? CD Projekt Red, so I try to link it all together. All right, does anyone feel confident in their answer? No? All right.
Well,
when do you guys have to go? Well, since Joe went first, Gareth, you're going first.
What were the options again? Just quickly run through them.
Well, I mixed them up, but it's going to be 2004.
Yeah, why did you do that? That threw me off big time.
I was like, wait a minute. I don't know. All right, it's 2004, 2005, 2006, or 2007.
I'm going to go with 2007.
All right. How about you, Joe?
I'm going to say 2006.
Is that your final answer for both of you?
Yes, sir.
Man, Joe, I was so confident in you. It's 2007, Gareth. You got it.
Man.
For the first one.
Find a TikTok on that, Joe.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And the proud willful.
In Europe,
oh my God.
In Europe, it was released in October 26, 2007, October 30th for 2007 for North America, then November 9th for 2007 for Australia. Those Australians are he's behind. All right. Now, you guys might, if you guys were paying attention, I said this during my little review. What year was the Hunt Showdown set in? 1880, 1895, 1899, or 1890? Gareth seems pretty confident. So what about you, Joe?
I'm replaying this back in my head, and I heard a completely different year than what you're saying. So can you give me the choices again one more time?
1880, 1895, 1899, or 1890?
I'm going to say 1880, final answer.
1895?
No, 18, you said 1880, right?
Yeah, it was 1895, 1895, 1895, 1895, 1899, or 1890.
I think 1895. 5 years after the American Civil War. Is that what you said?
Is that everyone's final answer?
Well, go ahead, Gareth. You got another point.
Yeah, Gareth is right. 1895.
Oh my gosh.
So I did say, I said it was set in 1895, but I did say it started right after the Civil War. Wow, look at you, Gareth, knowing our Civil War and stuff too.
Jeez, better American history than I do. This goes to show you how well American, like the public schools were.
Oh man, Gareth's killing it.
We don't like talking about history.
Oh my gosh.
So is that 3-1? All right, so this last one. It's more of a range. So if you get it within 5 million, I'll give you 2 points. If you get it within 10 or 15 million, you only get 1 point. So
how much did Matt make this year from selling PlayStation 5 and Xbox?
0, because I haven't been scalping. Don't make the listeners hate me. How many copies has Tetris as a whole sold, according to mid-2020?
I'll just chuck some out. Copies.
Yeah. So
did you say copies?
Yeah, so across the entire series.
212 million.
Chance, Joe, catch up.
Oh, right, so that's nowhere near it.
There is a lot of different takes on Tetris. A lot. So I'm going to have to go upwards towards 500 million is going to be my final answer. I know it's probably a lot more than that, but I'm going to play it on the safe side.
Oh my goodness. Joe tied it up.
Let's go!
No, it's 3-2.
No, my source said 495, but a few different sources, it either ranged from 490 to 500. So he got 2
points.
Yeah,
but we're on 3. No, yeah. He got 2 points.
Yeah. Well, I said...
That was within the 10 million mark.
Yeah, I said if you were within 5 million, you got 2 points. I specifically said that. And he said 500 million, and my answer is 495. So he got 2 points for that.
Let's go!
So I was not expecting him for tie it up, so you guys tied this go-around.
I feel like we've tied before in the past, too. Haven't we tied before?
It was either me or you, or it was you and Matt. I think you are the time master. God.
Gareth is so upset right now.
Honestly, why can't I win anything?
He's so mad.
Yes.
Man, Joe came in clutch with the last one. When you said
I don't know where that came from.
He gave 500 million. I was like, no way he got the 2 points.
Oh man, that's good. Sorry, guys. That's good.
Well,
one of these days you'll win. Just not today.
One of these days. Guys, it's been a great episode. It's been good to be back. As far as I'm aware, my recording has still worked.
So far.
So far it all looks good. Davila, now you're back in the room from recording one of your TikToks. why don't you run through where can people find you, what you're up to?
Yeah, well, as always, I'm still streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/thatbaboso. I try to stream every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening around 6 p.m. Eastern time. You guys can also find me on TikTok where I post a lot of my Twitch clips and different, hijinks that happens during my stream on TikTok and, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as always.
Do you have a YouTube set up yet? Have you been trying?
I do have I do have a YouTube. I only have one like real video. I did a review on this Elgato Wave 3 microphone, and I'm actually still getting views to this day on that video. I actually just got a comment today. Somebody watched it and was telling me how much it helped. Yeah, yeah, but I mean, I haven't. The thing is that these YouTube videos require a lot of editing, and I just don't have the time, you know, to just sit and edit for hours and hours and hours. You know, I do work a part-time job. I'm going to school full-time, so got to put in my time where it's important.
But I mean, but that's awesome though. But I mean, if the listeners really want someone enjoyable to watch on Twitch, Joe's it. I don't like watching people on Twitch because I'd rather be playing the game. But Joe's the one person that I will make an effort to always go and watch. You're always a blast to watch, no lie.
And I really appreciate that. And I try to make sure that you know the viewers are the main, you know, the main importance. I mean, I'm not by any means a high tier gamer. I mean, I'm average. I'm an average Joe, you know. But I like to interact with my viewers and talk to them and see how they're doing and see, you know, get like a real relationship growing with them.
You might be an average gamer, but man, your stream is pro. You got those nice transitions and everything.
Yeah, you know, it's not a lie. It's not a lie.
You got the logos and stuff.
You know, it's been a lot of work, you know, but it's definitely, Matt, I know you've watched me from the beginning, you know, it's come a long way, but you know, I couldn't have done it without everybody's help. So I really appreciate that.
We'll make sure to tag all your information in the show notes and the show details.
Thank you.
Well, we met.
Yeah, you're right. You will, because I won't.
Leave reviews. It is appreciated. It's our first podcast back from our second resurrection. So yeah, leave some reviews. Let us know what you think about this. It's always really good. Matt, where can people find us?
Similar to Joe, you can find us on all social media except for TikTok. You can find us on you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have a Discord. We have
I was gonna say, actually, we're in Discord right now. We should probably push. We've got a Discord server. We'll put the link in for the Discord server as well, so you can jump into that. Be good to maybe get that going.
Yeah, because we have an email. And honestly, the main reason for the social media is to put out that we have a video out, and also so we can get ideas and suggestions from the listeners. We really thrive on bringing listeners on, like Joe. We also thrive on people suggesting us games and we playing them, or what our thoughts on certain gaming-related breaking news stories. We really try to incorporate the listeners as much as possible into our shows, because it's really what it's all about, is talking about games with fellow gamers that we consider friends.
Yeah.
Cool. Actually, Joe, do you want to do the first part this time, and then Matt can wrap it up? If you just do the bit before the dots. We've never done this before, so...
Oh, wow. I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of nervous.
We didn't practice this either.
I don't know if I'm ready yet.
It's not like a TikTok. You're not practicing. Right clip. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, this has been your Gaming News Weekly.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.